Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Tonight, we are going to be talking about getting ahead and accomplishing more. Now, before you panic, feeling overwhelmed and already overworked, I'm not asking you to get up and keep at it. Just keep listening. We are talking about the bigger picture here and finding a way to get to where you ultimately want to go. Hopefully, this will be a relaxing conversation, full of new ideas that might just push you to go a little further. But I'll also try to temper my enthusiasm and talk slow and help us really take it easy. So relax and put your feet up and clear your mind. That's where we'll start, with visualization, a mental picture of what you want your life and your accomplishments to look like. We will also be featuring the music of independent singer-songwriter Dan Hageman. On our musical breaks tonight, Dan grew up on a farm in northern Illinois with two older brothers who introduced him to both listening and playing music. He took that influence and the rush of playing and writing through high school and college as a sign he needed to continue. When a musician friend reached out and asked if he could use one of his tunes on his set list, Dan was hooked. Hearing one of his songs played at a packed venue with a positive crowd response, Dan was on his way to Nashville. So I'm excited to play some of his music for you tonight. So, okay, back to our visualization. Do you have a clear idea of what you want your life to look like? That seems super broad, as if you're supposed to have everything figured out. Why don't you instead try picturing one aspect of your life, one thing you would like to do? So Matt and I are very goal-oriented, and I like to keep a running list right in front of us. So when one thing drops off and we accomplish it, we add another. Remember, sky's the limit here, so don't discount your dreams by your perceived abilities. For instance, I used to say, I can't bake. But what I was really saying is, I don't have enough interest to take the time to follow a recipe to the T. You know, some people say, I can't draw. All I do are stick figures. Aren't they really saying, I never really made a go of it? I haven't taken the time to delve into the semantics and practice. And what is art anyway, but your own interpretation? So why are you beating yourself up? Just give it a try. Okay, you've had time. Do you have your goal in mind? And can you see it, taste it, and picture yourself doing it? What does it look like? Would you say you're more of a dreamer or a doer? I love to brainstorm and set goals for future accomplishments. It's not that I'm not happy or satisfied where I am per se, but I always see my life as a work in progress. So I'm happy doing the work and seeing the progress. I love visualization. It's fun to imagine what it would be like to be where you want to be, whatever that is. Owning your own company, taking a fabulous trip, going back to school or learning a new skill, creating a new product. That's exciting to me. Okay, sorry. I said I was going to curb my enthusiasm so that you could relax. So take a breath. And we'll go back to thinking about what you want. What would be the next goal on your list? Visualization techniques have been used by successful people to visualize their desired outcomes for ages. Elite athletes use them, the super rich use them, and peak performers in all fields use them. Jack Canfield is the originator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, and affectionately known as America's number one success coach. Using visualization techniques to focus on your goals and desires yields four very important benefits. Number one, it activates your creative subconscious, which will start generating creative ideas to achieve your goal. It programs your brain to be more ready to perceive and recognize the resources that you'll need to achieve your dreams. Number three, it activates the law of attraction, thereby drawing in into your life the people and the resources and the circumstances that you'll need to achieve your goals. And number four, it builds your internal motivation to take the necessary actions to achieve your dreams. You know, when you're interested in buying a new car, you think about it all the time. You see yourself in it. You know the color. You know the make. You have details on the interior and what features you must have, those must-have things. You probably even have it on your desktop as a screensaver. And then, have you noticed that you see that car everywhere? Isn't that weird how that happens? You're focusing on something so intently, and then all of a sudden, you look up and it's everywhere you turn. Imagine the same thing if it were true for your goals and your dreams. Give them the same amount of focus, and then the world shifts, and things you need to make it a reality are somehow all around you. A great time to practice visualization is first thing in the morning or before you go to sleep at night. This way, it helps you relax and you're not distracted by the normal buzz of the day. So here's one way to do it. Imagine sitting in a movie theater. The lights are dim and the movie starts, and it's a movie of you doing perfectly whatever it is that you want to do. See as much detail as you can. Create everything about that moment, including your clothing, the expression on your face, maybe your body movements, how the day is going, the environment, any of the people that might be around you. Also, add in any sound you'd be hearing, traffic, music, other people talking, cheering. And finally, recreate in your body any feelings you think you would be experiencing in that particular activity. That's a way to make it really come to life. Really transport yourself from just an idea to on your way to reality. Have you ever heard of a vision board? Like, take pictures or cut up a magazine, draw your dream, add color, put in some detail to make all of that come to life, and then post it somewhere in your daily space so you have to look at it all the time. So we're going to take our first break because we did some visualization, and I want you to stick with that. I want you to have that in your mind so we can really focus through the rest of the show on that particular goal. Now, we're featuring Dan Hageman. In 2010, Dan released his first album, Before We Fade, and his follow-up, Life Support Lullabies, in 2014. There's a warmth and intimacy that comes through an acoustic guitar that I don't hear with an electric, says Dan. Plus, I have more of a percussive and rhythmic style of playing that works better on acoustic. Also, an acoustic sounds better when I'm playing by a campfire. No doubt about that. Having relocated to Chicago in 2018, Dan now has to work a little harder to find those campfires, but he still manages to find them. Most of my songwriting ideas come to me when I'm outside. If I get quiet enough, I'll hear the lyrics and the melody. That falls right in line with Dan's songwriting philosophy. Get quiet and listen. The songs are out there. It's the songwriter's job to hear them. So we're going to play his first song, Epilogue, which is on the Life Support Lullabies album. I hope you enjoy.
Oh, I will sing out on the day my body falls, my soul awakes. And when you hear me sing that song, don't let it fade, please sing along. I start today dreaming my hands, give it to the wind, see where it lands. And if it falls, there's no rain. I start tomorrow just the same. Oh, I will sing out on the day my body falls, my soul awaits. And when you hear me sing that song, don't let it fade. We sing along. I'll end today with empty hands, giving my dream a chance to land. And if tomorrow I shouldn't see, remember this song, remember me. Oh, I will sing out on the day my body falls, my soul awakes. And when you hear me sing that song, don't let it fade. Please sing along. Don't let it fade. Please sing along.
Welcome back to Encouragementology. If you are just joining us, we are listening to Dan Hageman tonight, independent singer-songwriter, now relocated up to Chicago. And we are also talking about getting ahead and accomplishing more. Now, again, I don't want to stress you out as if you didn't already put in a full day. I'm sure you're already thinking that. But this is really talking about goal setting and the bigger picture. So we talked about some visualization techniques and just how to sort of get in mind what it is that you're looking for. You've got to have a target before you can shoot the arrow. So you really have to have that in your sights. According to a study on goal setting, people who write down their goals are more likely to achieve it than those who don't. I'm sure you've heard that before. I know I've heard it in business my whole life. But a group of students were about to graduate, and they were asked to set goals for themselves. Now, some didn't set goals, and some did without writing them down. But a small percentage in the group wrote down their goals. After many years, this same group of students were interviewed, and something very astonishing was discovered. Those who set goals and never wrote them down were earning twice as much as those who never set any goals. And those who set goals and wrote them down were earning 10 times as much as those who set goals but never wrote them down. Okay, so in case you got lost in that, the ones that set the goals and wrote them down were earning 10 times as much. So really writing them down and having them in front of you and visiting them often is really, really important. Canfield said, he confessed, when we were writing the first Chicken Soup for the Soul book, we took a copy of the New York Times bestseller list, scanned it into our computer, and using the same font as the newspaper, typed Chicken Soup for the Soul into the number one position in the paperback advice, how-to, and miscellaneous categories. We printed several copies and hung them around the office. Less than 2 years later, our book was the number one book in that category and stayed there for over a year. Pretty impressive. So that's a great way to visualize yourself already there. Now, before you start, you need to know where you're starting from, right? There has to be a point A to get to the next point. So getting to the next level starts with a clear assessment of your present state. Where are you? What are you doing? The next level means moving forward, not jumping to the goal and skipping all the steps. I mean, is that your MO? Do you try to find the quick way to get from A to Z? You know, everything is a process. And the people who make it look simple are actually edited for TV, believe me. It might look easy, but it's definitely not simple. Determine where you are and then where you want to go. And then here's the big one. Here's the one that takes some drive and some patience. Identify the steps in between. Evaluating where you are means everything. This will help you see the obstacles that are preventing you from moving forward. You have to get the bigger picture, the 50,000 foot glance, really looking down on your life. And it starts in the AM and it doesn't stop until the PM. So, what does your day look like? It might be time to start getting real and honest with yourself. What time do you get up in the morning? Are you one of those last minute people, hits the snooze, stays in bed, gives yourself only a small amount of time to get to work? Or are you the kind of person that likes to get up, relax, have some coffee, take their time, do some thinking, some meditation, some prayer, what have you, in the morning? Is that how you start your day? Where are your thoughts? Are you focused and motivated and you're thinking about everything you've got to do in a positive light? Or are you waking up already in a bad mood thinking, oh, I didn't do any of that stuff last night? Where do you go? Do you go to work? Do you work a 9-to-5 job? Maybe I should say 8-to-5. How do you feel your day? Are you constantly moving forward? Are you among positive people? Are you creating new projects, finishing projects? Really, how do you feel your day? How do you get your information? Do you bring in kind of the sludge and drama of social media? Or are you always trying to learn new things? What don't you do? What are you missing? You know, procrastination isn't a time management issue. It's an emotional issue. You don't feel like doing it, so you avoid it. There probably wouldn't be a day that you're going to feel like wanting to do it, so you just have to do it. That's it. Isn't that true? You put things off, and then you feel guilty, and you feel stress, and you're anxious. Then you do it all over again the next day. But when you do it, when you actually accomplish it, you feel great. You feel relaxed. You feel empowered. Why can't you just do it? Boy, that's a meaningful question. If we had the answer to that, we could probably solve a lot of life's issues. But, you know, every day in life is a hustle. If you think about it that way, every day you're hustling to get somewhere. You know, we can relax in our accomplishments, but right now it's a hustle. And I've broken it down to 5 primary hustles. You're either hustling to stay alive, make ends meet, get ahead, go further, or impact more. Where are you on that scale? I'm going to say those again. Stay alive, make ends meet, get ahead, go further, or impact more. Where are you on that scale? Maybe it's just staying alive right now. You know, you're barely making ends meet. It's a constant cycle of up and down, and all you want is steady and calm. One step further equals 2 steps back. You aren't sure how much more you can take of it before you're going to crack. So what is preventing you from making ends meet? What can you do to alleviate the stress and become more productive? The stress of barely making it can consume your ability to brainstorm alternatives. I mean, when you're stressing out, how can you possibly come up with creative ideas? Focus on the first thing you can do to remove an obstacle. Now, it may feel like you have an avalanche of boulders in your way. And why get started? I mean, what's the point if you can't possibly move them all? But just move one. Just one. And then you can reassess the situation. Each time you remove one, the pile will get smaller. You may need help or a different approach as you work your way through it, but as the stress alleviates, the ideas will come easier. And you'll see it all from a new light, new perspective. Imagine all of that moving out right now. If you're just hustling to stay alive, think about that. Think about all of those pressures moving off of your plate and how that makes you feel. Maybe you are making ends meet. you have some stability, a reliable income source, and you aren't living outside of your means. You found a way to make it work, at least for now. Now, there isn't a lot of wiggle room or an emergency fund, but for now, you got this. But what's preventing you from getting ahead? What can you do to get over the hump and relieve the pressure of just getting by? Is there a way to fit a few more productive hours into the day? Ask for overtime or maybe consider a second job. Could you consolidate, downsize, maybe find another way to save toward a future goal? Trent Ham started The Simple Dollar in 2006 after going through a complete financial meltdown. Trent decided to throw himself headfirst into fixing his financial situation and getting out of debt. Within 8 months, he was able to pay off all of his credit card debt, as well as his vehicle, and he also established an emergency fund, which is so important. After that, he decided to share with the world what he'd learned and help those who were struggling with the same situation. He said, "No matter where you are on your financial journey, you need to know that it's possible for anyone to turn their financial life around. Sometimes, all it takes is the first step in the right direction to get things moving in your favor. But as with most things, sometimes the very first step is the hardest part." That's why he created this list of 100 ways to start saving money today. So I just pulled a few things off that list. It's an awesome list, and I'll have that available on my website to you. So first, stop collecting. Start selling. Oh, why do we do that? We hoard stuff that we don't need. There's a whole minimalist movement out there. Join it and get on board. Master the 30-day rule. Wait 30 days before making a big purchase. I love that idea. Instead of being so spontaneous and you just got to have it right now, you're making an emotional purchase. You're not making a logical purchase. Take 30 days. I bet you won't be as interested. Invite your friends over instead of going out. Boy, isn't that a big one? Shoo, you can spend a lot of money eating out, and you could feed a whole army for so much less and have more fun at your house. Plan your meals around your grocery store flyer. This is a great way too. You know, what's on sale? Is shrimp on sale this week? If not, I wouldn't be making scampi. Create a visual reminder of your debt. Really put that in front of you, how much you owe. Keep that in your sight. Matt once told me, if you've got money in savings, but you've got debt, you really don't own that money, right? Now, we're going to take another musical break. We're just getting ready into getting ahead, so things are starting to look up. So I want to get back to that. But first, we are going to listen to another song by Dan Hageman. Dan feels like his writing has evolved pretty significantly over the years. One of his guiding principles in the songwriting process is to tell as vivid of a story as possible with as few words and musical notes as necessary. I love that. Whether lyric or music, if it doesn't help tell the story, it shouldn't be there, he said. The stories he's trying to tell with his songs become simpler too. I used to try and take on huge subjects like love or death. Now I look for simpler and more specific aspects of those subjects to write about, such as seeing an elderly couple holding hands or a handmade cross on the side of the road with plastic flowers at its base. That's a great approach. So we're going to listen to Before We Fade from the album Before We Fade.
Remember college days, roommates of late, playing to wear two drums to play. The momentum of my intentions, along with the memory that I just mentioned, followed me here today, yeah. So why do you say, before we fade away, chills up my spine. So here's a song for a music, a song for my friends. Won't be there with no beginning, won't be there in the end. Got to give a walking, talking line. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? For the freeway. Well, I can always find an excuse to rule. And if you're fresh out, I got a warm new news. I set my soul to singing. Knowing we're playing, so why do you say for the fade away? For we fade away. And this is where I play real soft. Take body to the roof inside, down lost eyes closed, and I kind of hold my breath. We're taking it easy with the tempo, let the rhythm evolve, but just a funky little bit in my voice. And now I'm waiting to hear what they'll play next time.
Welcome back to Encouragementology. We are talking about getting ahead, accomplishing more, and we were talking about the hustles in life, and we were just getting out of the weeds and into getting ahead. So you're getting ahead. You've started to save for the future or for luxuries you want now, maybe a bigger house, a better car. You've made it over the hump, and you realize spontaneous purchases aren't as fun when you're strapped for the rest of the month. That's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? Oh, you want it right now. You got the money right now. And then you don't think about the rest of the month. I've always told my kids, I have lived paycheck to not even paycheck. So I get it. You've got a nest egg when you're getting ahead, and things are starting to look pretty good. But what's preventing you from going further? What can you do to unlock the key to hitting new goals? Going further doesn't have to mean more money. It's about new experiences, learning, and growing. You are never too old or too established to learn something new. Jerry Cowarden, age 102, yes, you heard that right, 102, from Thousand Oaks, California, has been a lifelong learner. A retired OR nurse, she has attended classes offered by California State University, Channel Islands, Osher Lifelong Learning Institute in Carmelo, California. Along with her 74-year-old daughter, Jerry Jr., Jerry Curtin. Last semester, Cowarden took a bus from her residence to the OLLI campus in Thousand Oaks to attend music classes. She enjoys opera and everything about music. Curtin, who also was a nurse, enrolled in science classes about stem cell research and DNA. There is no homework, no grades, just learning for the sake of learning, said Girton. According to a recent Pew study, 80% of adult learners said they pursued knowledge in an interest area because they wanted to learn something that would make their life more interesting, more full. 60% said they had extra time on their hands to dedicate to learning. Why not? They've got extra time. Nearly 90% said learning new subjects helped them feel more capable and well-rounded. About 70% said learning opened up new perspectives about their lives. And 64% said their learning helped them make new friends. I think that's amazing. Isn't it great to just challenge your mind, put yourself out there? It's not just about the textbook, but it's everything else that you learn along the way. So once you're comfortable getting ahead, maybe it's time to go further. If you're going further, you have a full, rich life. You're well accomplished by most standards, more than stable in your day-to-day, loving life, seeking new opportunities, right? Is that you? Is that where you are? Well, what is preventing you from impacting more? What can you do to propel your life and reach the next level of impact? Have you thought about where you could share your positive outlook and your forward-moving energy? There are plenty of stages before going further that could benefit from your experience. Have you ever thought about that? You might get involved with a young professionals group and share some of your ideas that's helped you in business and maybe pitfalls that they could avoid early on. Volunteering is a great way to get involved, and it feeds your soul as well as helping others. You could mentor for the Boys and Girls Club. You could join a civic organization with a healthy cause, you know, something that you're into. You've been able to manage life with success, so now may be the time to share your ideas with others. You could simply Google volunteering near me, and you can find all kinds of different results, all kinds of causes that speak to you, maybe something you have experience in or passion for. And then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Call them. Take that step. Maybe you're at the end and you really need to be impacting more. You've made it. You've hurdled life's challenges and you came out on top. You created the life you wanted and now you're deeply rooted in giving back, making deep connections in your community and beyond. What's preventing you from sharing your success and ideas with others? What can you do to create a legacy? Have you thought about teaching a class? Creating a blog or writing a book? What about sponsoring a scholarship or developing a foundation or starting a charity? The Harvard Business Review says, as a leader, leaving a great legacy is arguably the most powerful thing you can do in your career and life because it enables you to have influence well into the future. Even after you're out of the picture yourself, you can leave this impact on your organization and all the people around you. Whether you're all the way to this point in your life or not, it's important to remember this. We're all building a legacy. Like it or not, regardless of your age, sphere of influence, or net worth, every personal interaction, every email, every tweet, like, or post adds to your body of work and will be echoed generationally through your friends, your family, your coworkers, your associates. So remember that. Remember what you put out there does come back. How do you want it to come back? Getting from A to Z is a process and a journey. It's full of ups and downs, bad turns, smooth sailing, big hill, low. You know where I'm going here. It's never a straight shot. So where do you want to go on this journey? Does it seem impossible? Well, it isn't. With a little planning, progress, and patience, you can go anywhere you want to go. I know, planning. It can be a fun part if you're a brainstormer like I am and you like to make lists. Or it can be the worst part. Are we there yet? I know you've probably heard that or you said it more than once. We want to get from A to Z and skip all the steps in between. I used to sew. Well, I mean, I can still sew, but I used to do it more often. But I just can't follow a pattern. Now, this is the thought-out, researched way to create the garment. It's probably been practiced and modified over and over, but I can't seem to follow the plan. I veer off course every time and end up doing my own thing. I wing it. Of course, it never turns out right. The pattern has all the parts already cut out, and most importantly is the timing of the steps. You just can't jump to the end and put a zipper in and expect the construction to hold. Now, you can use your own analogy here, but planning is an important part of success. To start with a goal, you have to really think about what you want to accomplish. Why not think of a small goal you want to set right now, personal or professional? To make your goal SMART, and this is the acronym, SMART, S-M-A-R-T, you have to think about it being specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. Okay? This is the SMART way to create a goal. So being specific, instead of saying, I want to be a millionaire, it's I want to make X amount of money each month over and over for the next 10 years so that I can invest X. Okay? Again, you can apply anything to this goal. Maybe your goal is I want to make more friends. Be specific. I want to get involved with two organizations outside of work to meet new people and make two new friends. Okay? Then it needs to be measurable. This means you identify exactly what it is that you want to do. You can see it, hear it, feel it. It means breaking your goal down to measurable elements. You'll need concrete evidence. Being happier is not evidence. Now, not smoking anymore because you adhered to a healthy lifestyle where you eat vegetables twice a day and fat only once a week, that is. Okay, you see the difference? Attainable. Is your goal attainable? You know, weigh the effort, time, and other costs your goal will take to see if it's really worth it. You know, do you have other obligations and priorities that might get in the way? I mean, is this goal even going to work? And then is it relevant? You know, is reaching your goal relevant to you? Do you actually want to run a marathon, be famous, have a child, or get a promotion? You know, fill in the blanks here. You decide for yourself whether you have the desire, the passion, and the drive. And then time bound. I mean, everybody knows that deadlines are what make people switch into action. So install deadlines for yourself and go after them. Keep the timeline realistic and flexible. That way you can keep your morale high. Progress, the payoff. Woo-woo. When things start to happen and you start picking up steam, momentum, imagine starting a diet, okay? The first week is always horrible. You're making all these radical changes. You feel tired and irritable, and nothing is happening. Your jeans are still tight, and the scale hasn't budged. Where would you say you are on the scale of motivation? Probably pretty low, right? But then you stick with it. And you start seeing real progress. You have some pep in your step. Your clothes are fitting better. People are starting to see a difference. And the scale is finally paying off. Now you're motivated to push yourself and work harder. You like the taste of success even more than maybe a powdered donut. A critical part of this payoff is in the planning. You need to set small, realistic goals instead of focusing just on the end result. I mean, dieting is just an easy analogy, but think about life goals or business goals. It's okay to have a 5, 10, or 15-year plan, but create mini goals along the way. Managing a bigger vision can seem overwhelming, and as a result, you can get tired and you can lose focus. So break it down in digestible chunks. Consider looking at your year in quarters. First, second, third, and fourth. What can you do in 90 days that will help you get to your goal? Goals define where you're going, but the milestones let you know that you're actually getting there. And when you hit a milestone, you have a reason to celebrate. Cha-ching! Celebrating your progress will keep you encouraged. So take stock of your success, and if you need, modify it. You know, if something didn't go right, you could modify it for the next quarter. And also, remember, it's easy to get stuck in the ditch doing all the work. At some point, you have to step outside and look at the horizon and make sure you're navigating with some sort of accuracy. And then patience. Always a struggle. Remember, Rome wasn't built in a day. They didn't get in a rush and create lean-tos because they were impatient. They made a plan, and besides all the crazy war, sin, and murder, they stayed their course. My point is, if you rush it, you're gonna get less than you deserve. In all you do, you should be building a foundation for stability. You know, before the walls were erected, or the Roman columns, let's say, there was a solid foundation, then the roof, then the sconces and tapestries. I should also add resilience. Because a lack of patience can sometimes be attributed to a lack of resilience. It's never easy. And if you let the doubts of others crack your foundation, you'll give up before you see any results or before you even get started. If you use your time wisely in your planning process, you should be on track. If you pulled the trigger with a half-hearted attempt and an under-researched idea, then yeah, it may be time to throw in the towel. How many times have you listened to some successful person talk about how easy it was to earn the money with their business? Do they talk about the 10 businesses that failed? Do they talk about the long hours of reading and researching and working? No. Why don't they talk about those difficulties? Because they're trying to sell you their book or their program. My guess is they wouldn't sell anything if they talked about all the pain and sleepless nights before they became successful. We are seeing the finished product as a result of all the difficulties. So we are going to take our last musical break by Dan Hageman. Dan is spending more time writing and less time performing nowadays. Life has gotten busier and a little more hectic these past few years, so finding time to write has become much easier than scheduling gigs, he said. He still finds time to spend time outdoors, and that has influenced his songwriting as of late. He said, "I keep writing songs about spending time in the timber and creek bank. They're just fun, but I may put them on an album someday." So we're going to listen to Halfway Home, and it is too on the Life Support Lullabies album.
Some days what seems to be a waste of all time is others the only thing holding together all mine. Some days we stumble at the end of the race. Others we run for just a smile on our face. Scars that you hide, the rough spots you've hit, wearing out your insides. But I still believe that we'll win in the end. On that day our struggle will look more like our friend. Surface reaching for light, they might break us, but not without a fight. The stories we write that we'll tell when we're old, they wait for an ending as alive as our soul.
Welcome back to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for sticking with me tonight. We have been talking about getting ahead and accomplishing more and listening to the wonderful music of Dan Hageman. So I hope you've enjoyed that. And I hope you've maybe taken a few notes. Remember, if not, I do put the podcast up and you can always listen to the show on the archive. You can download it. So I wanted to take this time just to recap. You know, we've talked about a lot of different things. First of all, we talked about the power of visualization, really getting a good idea of where you want to go, what you're trying to do. Picture it. Write it down. We talked about the techniques of seeing yourself actually there. You know, the whole movie scene where the screen goes up and the curtains open and there you are. What does that look like to you? You know, we talked about the study. Remember the students who wrote their goals down and they were earning 10 times more. Isn't that awesome? So really writing them down and putting them in front of you is great. Use a vision board. Put pictures on there. What do you want? A new car, a new house, a new job? Make that a reality. I did some web marketing for a business, a travel agency, and it dawned on me when I was talking to them that, you know, you can go anywhere you want to go with a little planning. Think about it. You can go to Bora Bora. Now, depending on how much you're willing to put aside every week, you may not be able to go tomorrow, but heck, you could go. It's never say never. You can get there. It just may take a little bit more planning. And a little more patience, right? And then we talked about really assessing where you want to go. What are you doing now? What is preventing you from getting to those next levels of your life? We looked at the five different levels, or the four different levels. Actually, it's five. I didn't put staying alive because that's the basic one. And then making ends meet, getting by, going further and impacting more. Where are you on that scale? and where can you get to the next level? Getting from A to Z is a process. You can't skip the steps. And we talked about different strategies for not losing focus. That's important. Mini goals, small things, small successes, planning, progress, patience, of course. So I challenge you, breathe, evaluate, modify, and then push forward. Your goals may change along the way, but if you've planned correctly, it won't be starting over. It will just be taking a new path further down the road. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear.